tonight. Trust to not hold you long, but not any longer than the Holy Ghost, amen, needs to have in your life. Amen. I just want the Holy Ghost to have His way tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we want to continue to remember our pastor, Brother Grissom, on his travel to the valley. May God be with him. That's a long, hard road from here to the valley. I don't know how many of you ever made that trip, but I have. Amen. In fact, Sister Hart and I followed the Grissoms to the valley a number of years ago. And it's on the other side of nowhere. So let's remember our pastor and pray his safe return. Will you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. They all said, we're not going to deny you. Doesn't matter how difficult that the circumstances may be, we're willing to die with you. We will never forsake you. We will never desert you. And the Bible says that they all said, it wasn't just Peter that committed, amen, not to deny the Lord. They all, in unison, amen, said, we will never deny you. Verse number 48. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. Amen. I want you to look very closely at that 50th verse. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. I want to preach to you a message I'm just going to simply entitled, The Naked Disciple. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. If I didn't have your attention before, I trust I've got it now. Well. I may lose it before we get through with this message, but I trust I've got your attention. You know, there are those who will learn from their mistakes. There are those that they say they live and they learn, and then there are some that just live. John Mark, who is the author of this gospel, was young, he was immature, and he was easily discouraged. You study the life of John Mark. But he was a good learner who just needed some time and some encouragement in order to grow into the person that God desired for him to be. Tradition holds that it was John Mark himself who was the nameless young man who was awakened in the middle of the night by the noise of the mob that was taking Jesus to Golgotha. And clothed only in a linen nightshirt, he arose from his bed of slumber to see what was taking place in the streets. And the Bible says that this young man followed Jesus. This is the only place in the New Testament that mentions this young man who awoke in the middle of the night with nothing on but a nightshirt. He had on his pajamas in our language. But he was so startled by the noise on the outside that he became curious and wanted to go and find out what was taking place. And so it is believed that this unnamed young person was John Mark himself. There would be no other reason for this to be in the Scripture except that he personally experienced what he was writing about. In fact, Mark is the very first gospel that was written in the New Testament era. Matthew and Luke drew a lot from what they had already read in the book of Mark in their gospel account. But Mark is believed to be the very first gospel account. It is not a gospel account that has a lot of parables in it. It doesn't have a lot of the things that we find in Matthew and Luke. But one thing that the Gospel of Mark is all about is action. Amen. That it is a book of the miracles and the signs and the wonders of Jesus Christ. That night, clothed only in a linen nightshirt, he went to see what was happening. I want you to know there's a lot of people that will become spectators to look and see what's going on, amen, without ever fully comprehending the magnitude of the moment. John Mark was just a young man at this time. And the Bible tells us that his family lived in Jerusalem. They not only had a home there, but that often the church would meet in the house of John Mark for prayer. And it was during the time that Peter was in prison that they were gathered in the home of John Mark and praying, amen, for Peter that God would deliver him. Amen. This young man who ran for his life, who very nearly was caught, amen, in the middle of the night, amen, when they were taking Jesus to Calvary, fled for his life, leaving behind that linen cloth. And the Bible says that he fled from them naked. I want you to know that if you intend to be nothing more than a spectator in the kingdom of God, amen, you will be stripped of your power and your authority and your faith in God. We've got to be more than just a spectator. Amen. To be a curiosity seeker. He could not, amen, refrain refrain from seeing what was going on. Amen. But God, amen, is not performing miracles today. Amen. For our entertainment. God is not saving people and loosing them from the bondage of sin for our amusement. But God, amen, is doing something that will transform the world. Amen. If we would only believe. Hallelujah. Yes, he started out as nothing more than a spectator. But I want you to know that we find that he became more than just a spectator. You cannot, amen, be around apostolic Holy Ghost revival, amen, very long, or you will either, amen, desire to dig deeper and to learn more about the things of God, or you will turn away and you will discount everything that you have seen and that you've heard. You can't remain neutral when it becomes the apostolic power and authority. You'll either embrace it or you'll run and go, amen, into the depths of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark may have started out running from what he could not understand. He may have started out, amen, being stripped of his pride. Amen. Running to try to save his life. But he, amen, came to become a great man of God who believed in the power of the gospel. His gospel is a gospel of apostolic power and authority. Hallelujah. Amen. The first clear mention of John Mark in the Scripture, other than this account in his own gospel, is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Amen. He was an action kind of guy. And it, amen, it's not in any way, amen, a shock to me that we first find the first clear mention of John Mark in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I believe that the church, amen, is a church of action. Praise God. It's not about, amen, learning, amen, and understanding and knowledge and wisdom. It's more than that. You can study and you can learn about the things of God, but that's not where it's at. Amen. The Bible says that men are ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And the last day that knowledge is going to be increased, but that's not where it's at. Amen. You can get so many degrees, amen, and you have more degrees than a thermometer, and that's not going to, amen, give you the kind of power and authority that you need, amen. But the only way that you're going to find what God wants you to do is to be active, to employ the faith that God has given you and begin to believe Him, amen, for mighty works of deliverance and power and salvation. Oh, hallelujah. We see that the spectator, amen, becomes an accommodator. In Acts chapter 12, amen, Peter is in prison for preaching the gospel. And the church is gathered in the house of, yes, you guessed, John Mark. His house was a meeting place. And they began to pray and ask God for a miracle. Oh, God, deliver Peter, amen, from the hold of the prison. And we know how that Peter was in the innermost part of the prison, in stocks and bonds. And the angel of the Lord came in that prison and loosed him from his chains. Amen. And the gates opened of their own accord. And he went out upon the streets of that city. And their miracle, amen, came to the door of their house and began to knock. Amen. And when the little lady ran to the door and answered it, she was so overcome, amen, that she could scarcely believe what she heard. She went back to the church And she said, amen, this is not her exact words, but I'm going to paraphrase what she's told the church. She went into the church and she said, our miracle is standing at the front door and he's knocking to try to come in. I'm afraid too often our miracle is standing up on the doorsteps of our church knocking to try to come in, and we don't have enough of the faith of God to open the door. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, don't let us just be a spectator. And let's not just be an accommodator. Amen. Some of us are willing to just accommodate a move of the Spirit every now and then. Amen. John was an accommodator. But we need to become more than just an accommodator. Amen. We need to open the door and let revival begin to sweep over our community. We need to let the Holy Ghost power be unleashed. Amen. That men can be free. Hallelujah. And so he went from being a spectator to an accommodator. Amen. All in the space of about 12 years. It took him 12 years, amen, from just being a spectator, amen, to becoming an accommodator. But then in the 13th chapter, amen, the accommodator became a deserter. In the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas, amen, were commissioned to go on a missionary journey. And since that Barnabas was a near relative of John Mark, he invited John Mark to go alone. I want you to know, amen, your connections are not going to get you anywhere. I don't care who your mother or your father is, or your aunt or your uncle. Amen. Amen. There are no blue bloods in the apostolic movement. Amen. He might have been a near relative of Barnabas, the great disciple and man of God, but that did not qualify him for the mission that he was about to take on himself. And so Paul and Barnabas took John Mark. Now I'm sure that he wouldn't have been invited except that he was Barnabas' near relative. Amen. Some say that he was a cousin. Some say that he was a nephew. I don't know exactly what the relationship, but he was a near kinsman. And so they went to the island of Cyprus, and God began to move in a mighty way, and there were miracles, amen, there were devils cast out, amen, the eyes were opened, miracles were taking place, and God, amen, was showing this young man how great he could be used if he would just yield himself and commit himself, amen, to apostolic service. But it wasn't long, amen, that poor John Mark began to get homesick. Amen, he began to miss his mama's fudge. His chocolate chip cookies. His warm milk and getting tucked in at night. You know, we can get, amen, so soft and so flabby spiritually, so weak-kneed, amen, that every little thing discourages and we go crying. We've got to run home to mommy and tell mommy about our problems and our troubles. Amen. John Mark was a good young man, but he wasn't yet prepared, amen, for the mission that God wanted to use him in, and so he deserted. I don't know what you think about deserters, but if you're in the army, a deserter's not looked upon very favorably. In effect, that John Mark went AWOL. What does that mean? Absent without leave. God had not released him. Amen. I want you to know, if you're called of God, amen, you can't pick it up and lay it down at leisure. Amen. If you're a Christian, you can't choose to be a Christian on Sunday and live like the world on Monday. There's no time to be AWOL in the kingdom of God. Amen. This is something that's 24/7. You're going to be a Christian on Monday just like you were on Sunday. Amen. Every day to live for Jesus. Every day to let your light shine. Amen. But John Mark wasn't ready. Amen. For full-time service in the kingdom of God. And so he became the deserter. He was first, he was the spectator. Then he was the accommodator. And now he is a deserter. And this could have ruined his ministry. Amen. To desert Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, amen, in the middle of a missionary effort, could have ruined that. If I would have been poor John, I would have been scared to stand before the district board. It'd be hard to try to explain your way out of a situation like that. Amen. He had done something that could ever have tarnished him and prevented him from fulfilling the will of God and the call of God that was upon his life. I want you to know, the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If God has called you, amen, don't begin to make an excuse. You need to fulfill that call. Obey the voice of God. And let God be God. Let God be true. And let every man be a liar. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, we read about him again. And here, amen, that this young man causes such a division between Paul and Barnabas that they choose to separate and go different ways. Now he has become a divider. Now he has created a division between two of the greatest missionaries, amen, of our age. Two of the greatest missionaries of the apostolic church, Paul and Barnabas. But they became divided because of a snotty-nosed kid by the name of John Mark, who was still wet behind the ears. He hadn't been given enough time to grow up yet. Amen. We'd be ready to stake him on an anthill. We'd be ready to hang him up from the rafters by his toes. Amen. Amen. To mess up something that was going so good, Paul and Barnabas, the contention between them became so great that Paul said, if that's the way you're going to have it, then I'll just find another partner. And so Paul chose Silas and Barnabas chose John Mark. And so he became, in Acts chapter 15, he became the assistant. He became a young missionary, amen, in the making. Praise God. But I'm glad, amen, that he did not allow his failures. I'm glad that he did not allow his youth. I'm glad that he did not allow his immaturity, amen, to discourage him for doing a work for God, because he became a mighty and defender of the faith, amen, a great tool in the hands of a mighty God. Can you say praise the Lord? And so what looked bleak, what looked to be a disaster, turned out to be, amen, the embarking of two great missionary campaigns. Paul and Silas, amen, began to preach in one part of the Roman Empire, amen. And Barnabas and John Mark began to preach in another part. And God began to do great and mighty things. The devil wanted to destroy the church. The devil wanted to end revival. But I want you to know, it don't matter what the devil wants to do. He can try to divide the body. He can try to sow seeds of discord. But he cannot win. Amen. Because we have an anointing from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. Can I get an amen from somebody? Oh, hallelujah. He's come a long ways. Amen for that young man in his nightshirt. Oh, hallelujah. He's come a long ways from that young man that was running for his life. I want you to know, I believe the apostolic movement has come a long ways from the beginning. I believe that we've come a long ways, amen, from running in our nightshirt. Amen, that it's time for the apostolic church of the 21st century, amen, to seize the moment. Amen, nothing was going to stand in our way because God has called us. God has anointed us. And God has sent us to a lost and dying world. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I don't care how many disappointments that you have known. Amen. If you learn from your mistakes, amen, then God can take something bad and he can make something good out of it. The problem is some of us don't learn from our mistakes. We continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. I'm glad that Barnabas was willing to give John Mark a second chance. That's something that sometimes we as human beings that we're not willing to do. Amen. We don't like to give people a second chance. Amen. We say, you blew it, man. You're history. God can't use you. And we reject the vessels that God has called and God has chosen. Well, thank God for some Barnabases. Amen. Barnabas means, his name means son of encouragement. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything. If you can't say something that will encourage, if you can't say something that will build up and edify, amen, then you don't have any business saying anything. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to edify one another. God wants us, amen, to strengthen one another. Amen. If you're so strong, amen, then pray for your weak brother. Don't criticize him and condemn him. Amen. The Bible says that let the strong bear, amen, with the infirmities of the weak. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, amen, about 64 A.D. that in, according to a man who knew John Mark, a man by the name of Papias of Hierapolis, in 64 A.D., near the end of Peter's life, we find John Mark, a companion of St. Peter in Rome. And there he becomes a mentor of the Apostle Peter. Amen. The one that Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of God. Amen. And so he who had been a missionary assistant now became, amen, one who was mentored by the Apostle Peter. And it is believed at this time, while he served in Rome, that John Mark wrote the gospel that is given his name, the Gospel of St. Mark, around 64 A.D. And what he wrote down was the first-hand testimony of one who was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Simon Peter, who walked with Jesus, one of those that was a part of the inner circle. Amen. The one that was with the Lord on the Mount of the Transfiguration when he was glorified. Amen. And he beheld Moses and Elijah and Jesus on the holy mountain. It was that same Peter, amen, that told, amen, John Mark the things that he witnessed. And John Mark wrote it down by this inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And we have today the Gospel of Mark. Amen. A first-hand testimony by Simon Peter himself. Amen. They became very close companions of one another. And then Eusebius, the great theologian of the second century church, he writes that after his time spent with Peter in Rome, that John Mark, according to tradition, went to Alexandria, Egypt, and there in the city of Alexandria, Egypt, he became the pastor of a great apostolic church. Amen. They began to plant other congregations in that great city, one of the great cities of the world at that time. Amen. And was a mighty man of God, a man of integrity, a teacher of righteousness. Hallelujah. And it was there that John Mark continued to labor in the work of God. He that had deserted the work, he that was so quick, amen, to quit and lay it all down in order to go back to the comforts of home. He continued, amen, to the day of his death, faithfully, amen, fulfilling his responsibility as the pastor of the church at Alexandria until the day that he died a martyr's death for the cause of Jesus Christ. After he was dead, that those that cared for him, those that knew him, amen, gathered his lifeless corpse, and they sailed from Egypt back to Italy, where he had spent many years with Simon Peter, and they buried his body in the city of Venice, Italy. Brother and Sister Grissom recently went there on a trip, and I believe that they actually visited the Church of St. Mark in the city of Venice, and there his life was ended. But he who had been a quitter, amen, continued faithfully unto the end of his life. I want you to know that quitters never win, and winners never quit. This young man who looked so weak, this young man who appeared so immature, this young man who was awakened in the middle of the night, amen, and could not go back to sleep. This young man who went out into the street in his nightshirt, didn't even think about what he was doing because he was overcome with curiosity for the things that he saw and the things that he heard. Amen, became a great man of God, a great warrior for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, some today that we may consider to be young and immature and easily discouraged. Amen, they can be used of God in a great and mighty way. They just need a little time and a little encouragement. Amen, God gave John Mark a second chance. The young man who ran away naked and in fear for his life later became a great missionary, evangelist, and teacher, and a traveling companion of three of the greatest missionaries of the first century church. He was a companion to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Barnabas, and the Apostle Peter. And he was the very first one to be moved upon by the Holy Ghost to to write down the things that Jesus Christ had seen and done in the earth. Amen. The very first gospel was written by His hand. Amen. Quite an accomplishment for a young man that Paul said, he's not fit, amen, to go with me on the missionary field. He was turned down by the great apostle Paul. Amen. But later, Paul himself said, he said, send me John Mark, because he's profitable to me and to the ministry. You know, sometimes we get it wrong. I said, sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we would wash our hands and walk away from situations and circumstances that are unfavorable in our own eyes to the work of God. But I'm glad that God doesn't make me the judge. John Mark could have easily be discarded and put up on the shelf. But instead, his memory lives on today. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got problems in your life, you can't run and you cannot hide. Your problems will follow you wherever you go. If you have problems in this church, you'll have problems in the next church.
Come on.
Hello?
That's true.
If you can't live for God here, you won't be able to live for God there either. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh God, help me, God, not to run from my problems, not to run from my fears. Oh God, to face them boldly, to face them, amen, with faith, to face them with courage, because I know that my sufficiency is not of myself, but my sufficiency is of the Lord. Oh God, when revival begins to knock at the door of my heart, God, help me to have enough understanding and enough faith to unlock the door and let revival, amen, come in. God, don't just let me be an accommodator, but let me be a participator in the things of God. I don't want, amen, to just to see it, amen, as a spectator. But I want to lead the charge. I want to be on the front lines. I want to be where there's action. I want to be, amen, where the fire's falling. Hallelujah. You want to sit in the grandstands? You'll never experience, amen, what the early church experienced. If you're content with your prayer life, if you're content with your present consecration, if you're content with the status quo, you'll never be the man of God or the woman of God that God has destined for you to be. It's time to step out of your corner, to step out of the shadows, and begin to take that apostolic power and authority that God gave you when He filled you with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, give us revival. Give us the revival. Amen, of the first century church. Give us a revival of a man that will not quit. Amen. John Mark made a lot of mistakes. John Mark, he fell many times, but he kept getting up. He kept picking himself up, and he said, I will not quit. I will not resign. I'm going to keep on, keep Would you stand tonight? Hallelujah. I believe this church is a church that's ready to explode into revival. That God wants to do things in our midst. Amen. That if we knew them, that we could scarcely believe it. If God would show you where you're going to be. Amen. It's a short time from now. You could not contemplate it. It would scare you to death. But I want you to know, if you'll step out of faith, step away from your fear, step away from discouragement, step away from the failures of your past, and step into the mainstream of the glory of God. Step into the light of God's glory and power, that God will do great things for you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. These altars are open. Hallelujah. Amen. If we want revival, revival's knocking upon our door. If we want revival, we've got to be willing to open the door and let revival come in. And let the Holy Ghost power fall in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, the power of the Holy Ghost, let it fall right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you want the power of the Holy Ghost, just reach out and get a hold of it. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Why let revival tarry? Why let revival tarry when revival is already here? Revival is already here tonight. If you just let God put it inside your heart, it's already here.
Take